Ruboradio.com. Единственное радио с таким названием.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Russian Boston Radio. This is basically the first English-speaking broadcast of the Russian Boston Radio, because normally we broadcast in Russian, but we have a special occasion here because we have a candidate for council, Boston City Council, at large, Martin J. Keough. Good evening, Martin.
Yes, good evening. Thank you.
Good evening. Also, we have our regular expert in everything, Mike Pipko.
Good evening, our friends.
Good evening, Mike. And the first question, Marty, can you tell us about yourself a little bit?
Oh, sure, yes. I'm a lifelong resident of Boston. I was born in the Mission Hill Projects in Boston. I grew up in Hyde Park, and I live in West Yorkshire now with my wife, Pamela, and my little boy, Nolan. My wife is expecting our second child on November 2nd in about 5 weeks, just in time for the election.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited.
And I know the elections are coming September 24th.
Yes.
And I know it's only, what, about a week? A
little
five
less,
days. 5 days before.
I think we're counting the hours now. It's about 120 hours.
Could you tell your days before, your experience? How did you come to this point? 5 days before election, what did you do?
You want to know? You want to know what I did for a living? You want to know why I ran? Or you want to know both?
We want to know both. We want to know. We want a little bit warm up ourselves and our audience just to know who is this man.
Let me explain the question a little bit. The thing is, Russian speaking audience, most of them are not that politically active, and we have to explain to them pretty much everything.
Sure.
So I'm not sure how many people know about the candidates and you specifically. So if you can tell. Everything that I would need to know.
Let me tell you about me first, okay? So like I said, I live in West Yorkshire now with my wife. I am an attorney, and my regular area of practice is to help kids that get out of trouble, kids that get arrested in Roxbury, West Roxbury, Stoughton, or Dedham Court. That's my area of practice. I do that because when I was a kid, I used to get in trouble all the time, and I'm not that tall of a guy. I'm only about 5'7", but I used to get in a lot of fights, and when you get in fights, you get in trouble. And anyway, one thing led to another, and I became an attorney, and I decided that kids like me deserve a second chance. So I became an attorney to help kids who get in trouble with the law, help them get out of trouble and get them on the right path. Although I'm an attorney, I went to Boston College right down the street here from the station. I went to Massachusetts School of Law, but I'm also a high school dropout. And when I tell people, they go, "You kidding me? How did you drop out of high school and become an attorney?" And I say, my mother came in one day. I was sleeping at about 9:30 in the morning, and she said, hey, wake up, you better get your GED or you're getting the heck out of the house. So I got my GED, I went to Boston College, I went to Massachusetts School of Law, and I became an attorney. And that's what I do, is I basically feel like I fight for the little guy, But anyway, so that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years. Prior to that, I worked at the Boston City Council for two other city councils, Mara Hennigan and Peggy Davis Mullen. And I did basically what was considered constituent services. So if you called up about, a car blocking your driveway or you needed to get a street hole filled or a street light fixed, I did all that work. I called the appropriate city departments and I had them get down there and fix those problems. So I did that for about 10 years. So I've got a pretty extensive experience in government.
And when you're saying you're normal size, you're not, small guy, the kid on the block. It's just I saw myself, I've been at the gym and I was introduced to Dana Rosenblatt, the boxer. And
glad I never fought him.
The thing is that, I'm walking out of the shower and I put my bag on the bench. I walk back and I see my bench on the floor. So I put it back. I said, "It's again on the floor." So I'm like, "Who is that?" And I see this guy who walks and that's like, and I punch him. And I was like, "What?" He turns around and I see his face. And now I'm just like a little like, okay, I'll move away my bag. So I won't mess with you.
I got a rule of thumb. I say, don't ever mess with a guy who's shorter than you. You can go fight a guy that's 7 feet tall. You get a better chance of beating him than you beating a guy who's shorter than you, So, but the truth is when I went to school, I got in a lot of fights. Kids used to pick on me. And I think just one day I started fighting back. I go, "Hey, I can kick this kid's butt," it started from there. I'm the type of guy, if I got in a fight with someone today, and those days are long behind me anyway, but if somebody tried to start a fight with me today or 20 years ago, I'd say, "I don't want to fight you." I just put my hands up, Don't want to fight you. You've literally got to put me into my back to a wall to get me to fight you back.
First time I hear politician like this. I think that what we had that Montana, I believe, or Minnesota. Minnesota was the governor. He was the wrestler, the bald guy.
Jesse Ventura.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let's talk about Putin.
It's another one. Yeah. The guy with the sensitive face, yes.
I think Barack Obama is afraid of Putin. Man. That guy, he works out all the time. I say he's in great shape.
Yeah, Andre just said that we are not that political. No, everybody is about Syria right now.
Yeah.
So everybody has their own opinion. What should they do? And do they have those chemicals? Besides Syria, candidate, may I please ask you, what is the number one issue, on your opinion, is facing our beautiful Bean Town?
The number one issue in the city of Boston is public safety, period. Last Saturday night, there were 8 shootings in a 24-hour period, including one murder less than 1 mile from my house. Downtown on Beacon Hill and the North End, Back Bay, Chinatown especially, tons of muggings, tons of assault and batteries, tons of breaking and enterings. There's a problem in our city, and I think it's got directly to do with drugs. And I think that we need more Boston police to go after these criminals. No more. We need a couple hundred extra police. And I know the mayor's race. I'm not running for mayor, obviously.
I'm sorry, no, because at this point, my question is because I didn't try drugs. I never even look at them just because I grew up being scared as a kid.
Yes.
Just because of those TV movies on the Soviet Union screen back in the 70s showing that people collapsing of heroin and crack, and they were looking, showing as Janis Joplin last days, Elvis last days. So didn't try, never die. But the thing is, what is going on? Is that addicts who are just can't get enough money to buy a dose, or it's
a combination of everything? You got your drug addicts that are heroin. Your drug addicts are the ones that will they'll grab an old lady's bag or they'll break in your house and take the change, take it out of your car. Then you got what we call the gang bangers, the kids with guns that shouldn't have guns, and they're kids. I mean, they're not adults like we are. They're 13, 14, 15 years old. And I really think they have no concept of what life is and, how easy it is for a life to be taken away. But they've got guns, and they've got turf wars going on in Roxbury, Dorchester. I mean, outside of Boston, too, but this is what's happening in Boston. So we got to get to those kids right away. We got to get the guns away from them, number one, and we got to give them opportunities because a lot of these kids are like me. They dropped out of high school, and they got no future except for what they know.
Well, saying you got to get the guns away, do you mean by that that – well, we shouldn't carry, like the adults shouldn't carry the guns.
No. I think a lawful gun owner should be able to keep his gun, I think. But I'm talking about if you've got a gun and someone steals it, we got to get that gun back. You're not the one that's out shooting people. It's these kids with the guns, so.
And it's just because it's so ironic, we're talking about the kids giving the great opportunity and the chance in their life, and then we are 2 months later after Aaron Hernandez. The guy had everything he could have in his life, dream about that, and just going nowhere. Any comments?
With him, I think, he had a lifestyle that he just couldn't leave behind. And he had friends. He probably couldn't break the bonds with them. I don't know what he was thinking. But I'll tell you, I think he was making a couple million dollars. Yeah, I'm not even sure what he's making. But it's all gone because he went back to a way of life that, he probably shouldn't have gone back to. I mean, if he didn't want to play football, then why bother playing for the Patriots if you want to go out and do what he was doing? Now, and of course, now I'm going to put my attorney hat on and say, we don't know all the facts. We don't know all the evidence. We don't know what Aaron was doing, but he was definitely hanging around with the wrong people that night, and that's why he's sitting in jail.
And you answering so perfect. I'm trying to do some kind of low ball, but
speaking of Russian audience, I don't think we see that many Russian criminals here, and all that criminal stuff that we're talking about does not really relate to Russian, but what do you think might attract Russian voters to you?
Well, I think that, I don't try to say I have a similar story from anybody, but my grandparents were immigrants to this country, came here with nothing, zero. When they got here, they didn't make any money. They made their way in life. My parents born, I was born. What should attract the Russians to me is that I came from nothing. I'm a poor kid, and I'm not saying Russians are poor or anyone else is poor, but I came from nothing. I know what it's like to want a job. I know what it's like to want health insurance. I know what it's like to need city services, which is what I did for over 10 years. So a Russian, a Japanese guy, anybody that comes to this country needs to have someone they can rely upon to give them the benefits and the opportunities that they should be entitled to, or they should at least be aware about. So I think with the Russian people, I'll tell you right now, I'm not a rich guy. You go look at my bank account, I probably got about $300 in there. You know, I'm not some guy that's going to turn my nose against you and say, I'm not going to help you. I am like one of the people. I work. If I get elected, I say to the people, I work for you. You know, so I think that's what's going to attract the Russians to me as well as anybody else. But I've got a couple of good Russian friends. I won't mention the names because I think if I forget one of them, they'll be like, you know, why did you say Yanzor's name and not mine? You know, so.
So you did mention one, right?
Oh, I made a mistake, you know?
No, no. Whatever you said very perfect because, for example, my older daughter, she for 2 years lived in South Boston. And just because of that horrible, pre-incident with yes. that girl, you know, being dragged Amy to Lloyd, ATMs, yeah. you know, she moved down to Charlestown. So it's still hopefully your territory anyway, but she moved out of South Boston. South Boston is the booming. It's the most accelerating part of our city. And it's you can't get any condo there. It's as soon as it hit the market, it's a 400,000, 500,000. It's gone. 3 days, gone. And it's right there, and you know she's semi Russian speaking, but she has an American boyfriend. So
let me tell you one thing about South Boston. It's still the safest place in the city of Boston to live. That was an anomaly. That was the guy that did that was a drug addict. Again, I mean, and these are what the drug addicts are doing, and other people that are desperate. But if someone said to me, "I'm not going to move to South Boston because of what happened to Amy Lloyd," I'd say you're making a big mistake. That's a great community. And if you saw. I don't know if you went to the meeting. If you went to that meeting, it was about 500 people that came out in support of Amy Lloyd. And I would say to anybody, go move to South Boston. It's great. West Roxbury is great. I'd even say Chinatown is great, but we've got to get the police there because people need to feel safe or they are going to leave the city.
Well, you said about Chinatown. I came here in the United States in 1993. And the first time I got lost in the combat zone, it was just...
What's a combat zone?
It's,
is that how you call Chinatown?
It was. I walked from Copley. It was the second day. It was probably April 12th, 1993. And I
remember that day. I remember what I was doing that day.
And
I was at a Red Sox game.
And I couldn't get a ticket, and I didn't know anything about baseball. And I got on the corner Washington and Neyland, and not long later I was approached, and I didn't know what to do, where to run.
You know, with Chinatown, what happened was prostitution is one of those things that's always going to go on. But the Yees, Tony Yee, and the other Yees, the CCBA in Chinatown, they cleaned that place right up. They closed all those seedy joints. There's a couple that are still there that they want to close them too. If it wasn't for the people of Chinatown, that place, the combat zone would still be associated with Chinatown. But you can get out of Chinatown. I mean, there's that great, the W Hotel, a lot of great restaurants down there, etc. And, you know, I feel safe walking down there too. But I know, I remember back then, and I was a kid back then, we got our license, and we used to drive in the combat zone just to see all the action. But if my father ever knew,
Andrew, you are laughing, but that was a very eventful piece of town.
Yeah,
yeah. So
you can thank Ray Flynn and Tom Menino. They cleaned that place right up. If you get out of Chinatown or anywhere and you try to pick up a hooker and it's a cop, they're going to put you in the paper. It's just it's not worth it, you know.
I was cleaning floors. I was cleaning carpets at Escada and Hermes stores. On Boylston Street, and looking at all beautiful, you know, salespersons and pictures and people trying their gowns and old dresses, and then just drive by, as you said, Washington Street, just to see the real life, you know. That,
it was crazy, and I was a kid. And if my son ever did what I did 20 years ago, I would ground him for life because it was dangerous back then. But the guys from Chinatown, they did a great job. And you know what else they do in Chinatown, which is great. They've got their own little crime watch group that still patrols the streets. And, you know, these guys, I shouldn't say guys, they're kids. They're young, they're tough, they're in good shape. And you mess around with people down in Chinatown, they're going to get you, you know, so.
Well, you keep on saying that we're talking about safety and we need more police
yes.
for people to be safe. Don't you think people might feel a little bit, I don't know, military
yeah.
or something overprotected if they see a police officer on every corner?
I do. And I think that, you know, and if you go to West Roxbury, which is where I'm from, people are asleep by 10 o'clock at night. It's a bedroom community. It's great. I love it now. When I was a kid, I'd want to be downtown. But I think, like with Chinatown, there's still crime that goes on. There's still crime in the North End. I think that we have to have a big police presence there until we get rid of the problem. You know, and if you did have police in every single corner, yeah, I would feel that we're under some form of martial law. But the Boston police are great. And let me tell you one thing. I've been around all over the place. I know you probably have too, but they're the best police force in the country. These guys, will, if they know you, they go up and they'll talk to you. They're just great. But with Chinatown, Dorchester, parts of Dorchester, we got to have the police there because we got to get rid of the crime. I mean, people, it's not worth someone being like that woman you said that won't go to South Boston. You don't want that to happen. You don't want people to be afraid in their own house or own neighborhood. And when you have the police there, they feel safe.
Cool question, because it's all come to the budget down, is because the presence of police officers on the street, and there are a lot of road work going on, so a lot of officers doing detailing,
yeah.
Obviously, kind of, you know, and they must be there, you know, we can't leave police officers off detailing, please, you know, don't even, you know, think I'm going that direction, but
yeah.
The question is, how are we going to raise money for increasing high qualified
there's a couple of ways. And number one, the details. I am 100% of the police getting the details, not flagmen. It's not that I think flagmen are bad. Do you know what flagmen are?
Yeah.
It's when they hire. They say, we're going to save money by hiring a guy who's going to hold a flag.
Right.
It's good. The intention is noble. It's not saving money. But the other thing it's not doing, and people don't realize, is that it doesn't cost the city of Boston any money to put a police officer on detail at a construction site because it's being paid for privately by the construction company, number one. Number two, if you got an officer there, somebody thinking about going through a red light, breaking into a car, committing a crime is not going to do what the police officer in their view.
Well, I know people who would say, "What is that guy going to do? Is he going to run for me if I don't stop? He doesn't even have a car then. I mean, he has a car,
you're
but
damn
it's
right,
like...
he's going to run after you. But the detail costs make a lot of arrests, and it's. They don't look the other way, you know, and I hear comedians make jokes about officers and sometimes about the Boston police, but, you know, the kids in the force today, they're all in shape, they're all in good shape, and they really care about the community. So if they're on a detail, and you'll see it in the paper every now and then, I think, it was in the paper a couple weeks ago, there was an officer, an off-duty officer that caught somebody that mugged a lady, you know, so a police officer is a police officer 24 hours a day. They want to spend time with their families, but if there's a crime committed in front of them, they're going to go in, they're going to do something. They might not arrest, but they've got the power to do it, and they will do it, you know?
Okay, gentlemen, let's have a quick commercial break, and we're going to return to our listeners in like a couple of minutes.
Hey, can I just say hi to good night to my son, Nolan? Pam, good night. Good night, Nolan.
Реклама на Руборадио.
The Natasha Folk Music Project invites you to our monthly klezmer and gypsy musical performance at Restaurant Caroon in Newton, Massachusetts. We play, sing, and dance klezmer and gypsy music from the Balkan region in our own arrangements. Second Thursday of each month at Caroon Restaurant in Newton, Massachusetts at 7:30 p.m.
Компания Party Time Boston предлагает профессиональную помощь тамады и диджея в проведении любых торжественных мероприятий. Свадьбы, дни рождения, бар и бат-митсвы, дискотеки, караоке, корпоративы и частные вечеринки. Мы поможем превратить ваш вечер в настоящий праздник. Звоните нам по телефону 617-505-4104 или ищите нас в интернете по адресу partytimeboston.com.
Бухгалтер. Бухгалтеру рознь. В AJST Accounting Лев Агранович и его профессиональная команда четко и слаженно решают любые вопросы по развитию малого и среднего бизнеса, финансовому анализу, стратегическому бизнес-планированию, пейролам и, конечно же, налогам. Куда же без них? AJST Accounting. Мы делаем жизнь наших клиентов легче. 617-840-09-82.
Дмитрий Фрэнклах – лучший финансовый консультант в Бостоне, представляющий самую престижную в Америке компанию New York Life. Если вы думаете о покупке дома, свадьбе, рождении ребенка или разводе, обратитесь к Дмитрию за советом. Он поможет вам сохранить и приумножить ваш капитал. Звоните по телефону 617-823-6865.
Еженедельно Руборадио слушают тысячи бостончан в возрасте от 25 до 45 лет. У вас или у вашего бизнеса есть что им предложить? Рекламная служба Руборадио – к вашим услугам. Всего один звонок, и вас услышит весь Бостон. Телефон 617-702-2295. Звоните прямо сейчас. Реклама на Руборадио. Это удачный шаг в развитии любого бизнеса. Станьте популярными вместе с нами. Не успели записать телефон? Специально для вас повторяем. 617-702-2295.
Руборадио.com.
And we're back live, and let me just remind you guys that we are having a nice chat. We can call it an interview with the candidate for Boston City Council at large, Martin Keough. If you have any questions, please, you can call us right here in the studio. The phone number is 617-684-5483. Let me repeat that, 617-684-5483. If you have any question to Martin J. Keough, you can always call us and ask. And Mike, I guess you had a question.
Yeah, I have a quick question.
Sure.
How do you say number one in Russian?
Номер один.
Number 18 on the ballot, Martin Keough.
Okay, you just
number one on the ballot.
You just said number 18.
Oh, but no!
But Mike, let's ask you, Marty, just to educate us, for example, the word consul for us, it comes something like from ancient Rome or somebody driving with a funny license plate, you know, the Colombian consul.
Yeah.
So would you please a little bit educate us? We know that we a few districts in Boston, and each of them have a consul, and they do have what Andrew says, consul at large. So go ahead, please.
Well, let me tell you, this district, there are 9 districts in the city of Boston, and this district is covered by District Council Mark Shomo, who's a great guy. You've got 9. You've got Matt O'Malley from West Roxbury, Bill Linehan from South Boston and Chinatown. Geez, I can't remember the rest. Why can't I remember them?
Michael Ross.
Oh, Michael Ross from down. He's running for mayor. Jeez, I know them all. They're all good friends. I know them all, you know. Here I go. The same thing. If I mention one name, I got to mention them all.
Most important that we got to remember your name, yeah, you know, by the end of this broadcast.
Well, you get 9 district councils, and you get 4 at-large councils. Now, the district councils cover a specific area in the city of Boston, but the at-large councils cover the entire city of Boston, and that's what I'm running for is the at-large council. So in my race, when you go to the ballot, I think Mark might have an opponent. I'm not sure if he's on the ballot for the primary, which is this Tuesday. But I've got 19 people in my race for the at-large. You get to vote for 4 of the 19. And, you know, like I just said, I'm number one on the ballot, so you cannot miss me. And I usually like to say to people, hey, you know, as soon as you mark my name off, if your hand gets tired, just go home. You know, so don't go any further down the ballot. But anyway, you've got 4 at-large councils and 9 district councils. And the whole idea or concept is that everybody, like in this district here, you basically have 5 councils that represent you, 1 district and 4 at large. In West Roxbury, the same 1 district, you know, 4 at large. It's the same thing for Southie and Chinatown, et cetera. And the reason why they did that is back in the prior to 1983, they had 9 at large city councils that represented all of Boston. There was no district council back then. And what they were finding was that a place like South Boston, where everybody comes out to vote, they were getting like 3 or 4 councils elected out of there and a couple more in other areas. And then you get like Roxbury that had nobody representing them, you know, and it was just by the fate of the electorate, you know, so they changed it. So the reason why this is important is that if I go out, I was out shaking hands in Brighton last week, and someone said, well, I don't know, yeah, I like Mark Shomo, I don't like that you're running against him. I said, he's a great guy, I'm not running against him. You can vote for him, and you can vote for me, I'm at large. And the at-large councils cover the entire, just like the mayor of Boston cover the entire city of Boston, so I can go to Charlestown, East Boston, Back Bay, Fenway, Hyde Park, you can vote for me. But, you know, Mark Shomo, you can only vote for him in Alston and Brighton. And that's what the difference is. So you got a district, and you have at large, and I'm running at large.
How often do they get elected?
Every 2 years. Now, there's a movement underway. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope it does, to put term limits on the city council. But in the same token, they want to increase our 2-year term to a 4-year term, and that we're only allowed to serve 2. I'm in favor of term limits. I think we should have, I think you should not serve more than 4 terms as city council, maybe 5 or 6 terms as mayor, because you got to have change. The Thomas Jefferson quote was something like, need to have bloodshed every 20 years to have a good form of government. Well, I don't want to see any blood, but you're
right. Well, I don't mind if we have a good mayor who's going to stay there for longer than 4 years.
Yeah.
But, Mike, have a question.
I have a silly question. Yes. Are they going to give you a car?
No.
I just thought that, you know, like, you know, district council have like Ford Fusion and the big council are enlarged, you know, like Ford Taurus.
Yeah, that'd be great, but I have a car.
But are you going to have like a marked car? Are you going to have like, wow, wow, wow?
No.
The sirens?
So you're going to drive an unmarked car. So.
I'm going to drive my regular car and that's it to work. And, you know, there won't be any lights. I know they give us a little play card that says city council. I'm not even going to use it because I don't consider myself to be a politician. I just consider myself to be a guy that enjoys helping people. And the day I start acting like a politician, I'm going to tell people, you know, don't vote for me because you don't want a politician. You need a guy that's of the people, and that's what I am.
You know, and then whom you gonna see if Red Sox gonna finally go all the way? You know, it's in the crowds, and we'll see Martin Keogh just, you know, shuffling the crowd. Yeah,
be sitting in the bleachers.
The bleachers. Yeah, so it's not gonna be on the streets. You know that. You know, Northeastern students, you just move aloft, and BU students go ride. You know, let the horses go by. You know,
I'm gonna put my Red Sox hat on and be Mr. Incognito. You know, so unless I see someone that needs help, then I'll be super city council. I'll go over and I'll help you. You know,
and. I please ask you, what in terms of the labor you have done for our town?
I've got 10 labor endorsements right now. I'm very proud of that because the thing about labor endorsements is it does give credibility to your candidacy. You know, I know you guys don't know me, and I know your audience probably doesn't know me that well, but I know a ton of people in West Roxbury and Hyde Park, and I'm going to do very well at them. But when I go to a place like Charlestown, they kind of remember who I am from the city council 10 years ago. They say, who's this kid? Why should I vote for him? Well, I come along and I get, you know, the Boston firefighters endorsement. Oh my God, I love it. I love the firefighters. You know, they're the most courageous guys on the earth. The police are too. You know, I got the firefighters. I've got local 7 iron workers. I got the local 22 telephone workers. I've got local 17 sheet metal workers. NEGWA, which is New England Gas Workers Association. Local 369, which is the gas workers. If you notice, there's a trend there that I've got a lot of public safety unions that have endorsed me because they know I'm the public safety candidate. But like I said, they give you a little bit of money, and that's great because it costs money to run a campaign. And anyone that knows me, I don't like asking for money. I don't like borrowing money. You know, but they give you the money, they give you people, and they tell their membership to tell their families to vote for you. But the biggest thing is somebody in Charlestown says, hey, the firefighters endorsed Marty Keogh. He's got my vote because I believe in the firefighters. So the endorsements are very important to me, and I hope I get more.
May I please ask you, it's great you said about labor endorsements. I was thinking about the construction going in town because I have a friend who has a yacht, and he parked it in the East Boston, and kind of. You know, it has a very luxury yacht, but the surroundings, the banks, the shore, they look shitty, you know. And that's,
you're not supposed to say that word.
I'm sorry. They don't look prosperous.
So basically...
what are we going to do?
Anything going to be made to make Boston prettier in terms of... not just downtown and financial district, but and the places tourists visit, but the regular places, regular people visit.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, we have to do that. But with regard to your question about the East Boston, the moorings and the pilings,
they smell. They smell. It's just they polluted, they rotten, and it's like you. It's very hard to breathe there.
I'm not sure what the city council can do about that, other than calling a hearing and saying to the private owner who probably owns that mooring, you've got to fix it, because that's what's happening in Charlestown, where they weren't fixing the moorings over there in the Navy yacht, and they basically said to that guy, "You got to fix this now." So he had to basically tell everyone that had the boats to move out so he can fix it. I don't know what the end result of that is yet, but I'm sure everyone's noticed the South Boston waterfront. If you went down there 15 years ago, that was just, you know, I don't want to say a mess, but that was a lot of warehouses and a kind of like a wasteland. It was a train yard for the longest time. They've done that up. They're going right around the entire harbor, and East Boston's next. It's going on right now where they're fixing up the, when you're pulling in a boat, you say, oh, my God, the city of Boston looks beautiful, and it does. That's great. And I'm all for development. I think it's good because development means jobs. It means getting revenue from taxes that are created from real estate taxes. But what they've got to do, and they have to do it right away, is they got to go into our neighborhoods that, like Dorchester, Roxbury, and other neighborhoods like that. There's tons of vacant lots there. I put a proposal on my website that the city of Boston, we identify all of the parcels in the city of Boston that we can build a house on, build schools on, parks on, and retail markets, apartment buildings on. And I'd like to see that happen if I get elected, because it's great to make, it's like somebody putting makeup on. You look great on the outside, but what's going on the inside? And the inner city of Boston, we need more development. We need more houses. We need more schools. We need more stuff, because if people come here, and we've tricked them into coming here, they're going to leave here if they see what it looks like in certain areas of the city. So,
South Boston is absolutely ready for this big leap, because with Ted Williams, nice roads, and I would say the like highway looking pavement, and it's ready to just explore. it's everything is ready. I don't know what about schools, because if the people coming there, and usually they are like dinks. Is it double income, no kids? Is that what the word? Yeah,
that's correct.
So yeah, this is who are coming to town.
Yeah,
and probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 years they moving to Framingham.
You just threw me a softball. Keep going.
Yeah. So the question is: are any ideas to build new schools in this new development neighborhoods?
My number one issue in the city of Boston is public safety. Number two, which is so close to number one, are the Boston public schools. I'll tell you one thing about people, and I'll talk about the double income, no kids people in a second. But when people want to move into a city, whether it's Boston, Brookline, Newton, or anything, they look to see what's the crime rate like and what are the schools like. That's what gets them into the city. If they get in there and the crime rate's bad and the schools are bad, it's the number one reason why they leave. So it's a double jeopardy type thing where you move in a city because of the schools and the safety, but you move out just as quick if the safety and the schools stink. The people, the double income, no kids, and I know from going to BC, and I dated a lot of girls at BU, and I enjoyed the college life when I was doing it, but a lot of those kids that went to school then, they stayed here, they met their spouses, they got married, they had a great time, and as soon as it was time to go into the schools, they took off. And they were taking off when they were making like 100, 150 grand a year. We're losing those people. We're losing the tax base. We're losing the money, the revenue that we get from those people as well. And they're leaving because of the schools. As soon as they get married, their kids are old enough to go to school, they're gone. And it's not that the Boston public schools are bad, because they're not bad, but we need to do a better job of, we need more neighborhood schools. We need excellence in the schools. Right now, not every school in the city of Boston offers sports, arts, music. There's for a kid like me, and again, I told you I dropped out of high school. Back then, they had shop. And you either went to college course or you went shop. You're going to either get a job or go to college afterwards. And I dropped out like a dope. I still regret it to this day. But we need to have a trade shop in every school, because there are going to be kids who go to school that say, I don't want to go to college. I want to get a job. We need to train them to get into the job force right away. But more importantly, double income, no kids, we need to keep them here, because you hate to look at people as a great source of revenue, but they are. And they leave the city, they get a great job in another city because the schools are better and the pay is better, et cetera. So.
But don't you think that those kind of schools are trying to get separated a little bit? I'm talking about the regular high schools and vocational schools, where people actually getting not a degree, but they get in the skills and profession, and they can start working after the vocational school. And basically, when you just finish the high school, the next step has to be college. Otherwise, you're not that qualified to go to work. So are you saying that that need to be done in every school in Boston, and kind of make a mix of all the schools?
Yes.
Okay, so based on that, what do you think that would be the perfect, like the dream school for you?
Yeah, I think, well, every high school, and again, you got your grade school, elementary, middle school, and then high school. And that's when kids are at the start seriously thinking about, am I going to go to college? Because you're only in high school 4 years, so it's either college or get a job when you get out of school. You can't be a bum like I was for a couple of years. You got to do something with your life. I think that every high school should have some sort of trade there. And I also think, some of the mayor's guys are floating this around too, and it's a great idea. Even if they're not floating it around, it's a great idea. But we got to get our labor unions involved with the schools. Like the carpenters could get involved with one school, and the sheet metal workers another school. Even the fire department. You get into the school and you create the kids still have to take their math, English, and all that other stuff. But they've got a shop that they go to learn a trade, because if they don't want to go to college, at least they're going to learn a trade and they can go and do that trade if they want to. They don't have to do that trade, but at least they've got a trade they can learn. And Jesus was a carpenter. Let's put carpentry in the schools, because I'm still not good at carpentry myself, but I do a lot of fix-me-up stuff around the house because I'm broke. I can't pay anybody.
Speaking of Jesus, the thing is that I read about you. I just, about your biography. And on the same Boston magazine, there was an article about the best schools. So the first thing they put in is percentage of enrollment in college. So, like, Westford School, 99.7%. Lincoln Carlisle, 99.2%. Wellesley, 97.8%. So the thing is, if we will going to have the same statistics of, and obviously the Boston schools, because of this such a huge, you can't, it's much easier, 2,000 people in this little town,
yeah,
and you can get, more kids in the college. If you have basically, I don't know how many, 1.2 million,
the public school says 57,000 kids approximately in the school system.
Right. So now, I'm talking 2,000 entire population, but
so City of Boston is about 637,000 people.
So yeah, 57,000 kids, and it's probably 5,000 of graduators every year.
That sounds about right.
So. So the thing is to get everybody in college to keep up with the statistics with other towns, just no way. It's not impossible. We only know that Roxbury, what is the Boston Latin?
Yeah.
If you only can have kids. This is the rumor. You can have a condo or live in Boston, West Roxbury, Roslindale. Only you got a kid in the Boston Latin.
Yeah.
And
that study and other studies I've seen, it's definitely an unfair criticism of the Boston Public Schools. And I'm not being defensive or taking it personal at all when I see those things. But, you know, we have 57,000 kids in school. And if you go to Westwood or those other small towns, they've got a lower amount of kids in the school. So it's unfair because if they have 57,000 kids in their school, those statistics might sway a little bit more.
That's what my argument was to you. So we got to change the statistics because the thing is it's always going to be bad ratings of Boston schools because it's probably maybe there is a chance somehow to create something. The kids, I can't say how many percentage kids staying out of trouble or how many kids you know gave blood and they didn't have any traces of drugs, but kids employed. This is it something which could be kids? I don't know how Andrei.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying. What I'm, okay, all right.
Let me get my English interpreter. Hold on,
okay,
a second.
All right.
Andrei, can you tell me what he's saying?
What I was trying to say that we have in the statistics. We do have all schools ranking very high because they have a high percentage.
I understand, yeah.
So we do have, as well, they do have a very high SAT scores.
Correct.
And, so let's put aside SAT because we have 50,000, students here in Boston. It's really hard to get average number up because, you know, big mix, that the melting pot. So the thing is, to kind of get around of percentage of the kids getting into college, because Marty is very proud that we can educate so many children who don't want to go to college so they can have a profession.
Okay.
So right after the thing, so how can we kind of establish new statistics showing that the kids have something to do after they graduate from the school? So this is what
you're
saying.
All the statistics, basically, what I think, what his question is that don't you think that the number of people not getting into college would actually drop the statistics and drop the number of people wanting and willing to live in Boston and, getting their kids in Boston public schools?
Wait, are you saying that people might be more inclined to put their kids in the public schools if the success rate of going to college was higher?
If they would look at the chart, if they look at the first page,
basically that's what
there.
People. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the major statistic instrument they have to to show up that the quality of this particular school is higher or lower.
Yeah, and if 57,000 kids in the Boston public schools all went on to colleges afterwards, you would see an influx of people coming into the schools and. That may not be happening for a bunch of reasons, which might have to do with the environments or the what's going on at home with the kids. I certainly don't think it's a teaching, but if we could increase that, and I don't think it's an unrealistic goal to increase that rate, I think it would bring more people into the school system. The other thing, too, I was going to say about the exam schools, we've got the Latin Academy and the John D. O'Brien School of Management, and a lot of those kids do go on to college, do go on to greater things.
Right.
Someone said to me, why don't we make every single, district school an exam school, which would be a great idea, but clearly you can't do that. But what I would like to see is we probably should create a couple more exam schools. I'd like to see a girls-only exam school, a girls' Latin school. But I think one of the things, and I firmly believe this, is that there's a disconnect in the Boston public schools that has to do with parents. Now, you got a lot of parents that are very involved with their children, but you got other parents that aren't for one reason or another. And sometimes that reason is that their kid goes to East Boston High, but they live in Hyde Park. So when there's going to be a parent-teacher meeting, it's hard for the parents to get over there to find out what's going on with the kid. Same thing for somebody who's in Southie, their kid goes to West Roxbury. We have to get parents more involved with their kids, you know, at home doing their homework. You know, I know when I was growing up, and let me tell you, I was an AB student right up until the time I, you know, my parents were getting divorced when I was a kid. And as I know it now, but back then I didn't realize that I was acting out because of what was going on at home. So I went from being an AB student to straight down, dropping out, getting in trouble, et cetera. And that's why I am who I am today. But my parents would do my homework with me all the time. When my parents divorced, my mother was working. I never saw my father, and basically it was party time, you know, so you're out having fun with your friends. Parents do need to get more involved with the kids, and the only way it's going to happen is if we bring back neighborhood schools. And I'm not sure if your audience is familiar with this, but just because you live in West Roxbury doesn't mean you're going to get the school right down the street. You, under the assignment plan for the Boston Public Schools, they might assign your kid to a school across town or a school maybe a neighborhood away, but the assignment plan is flawed because when you do that, when you don't give your kid the opportunity to go to his neighborhood school, he doesn't get to hang around with his neighborhood friends. The kids he grows up, the kids in his neighborhood, they don't even go to school together. And that's one disconnect, you know. I want to bring neighborhood schools, and again, that's part two of my platform for running, a neighborhood school. I want a school in every single neighborhood, not just any school, a great school. Because I have heard from other people in the city, they say, the reason I want my kid to go to the Kilmore School in West Roxbury is because it's a great school. The school across the street from me is lousy. They have the perception that the school is lousy, which may or may not be true. But the fact that they have that perception, we've got to stop. We have to make that school better. So not only does that parent want to send their kid to the neighborhood school, maybe I want to send my kid over there too. You know?
Question. Making school better, just pouring more money there, getting better stuff, making school better, what is it?
You can't compare a school to a car, but you can't throw money at something if it's not able to get fixed. We've got to fix the schools with the money we have now. There's plenty of money there right now to fix schools. Number one, we have to build more schools. We have to do that because there's not enough schools to let's just say we had an influx of kids going into the schools now.
I'm sorry, Marty. When you say build, the land is extremely expensive. The only empty spots it's from after that archdiocese scandal, you know, came. This is what you live there. Yeah. You know, you can have condos here. But where? What you're saying, build more school, where?
Okay, well, first of all, if you go on the City of Boston's Department of Neighborhood Development, you will see that there are thousands and thousands of parcels of land. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. You can build houses on some, you can build parks and all that, and you can build schools on the rest. There's plenty of land. I can find you land downtown in Beacon Hill where you can build a school. You know, and Beacon Hill needs a school. If we can't find the land, the city can use its eminent domain power, which means that they can go and say to somebody, listen, we're going to take your property for the good of all. You know, we're going to pay you for it. We're sorry, but we're going to take it. You know, if we have to use our eminent domain power to create places to put schools, then I say we do that. But I don't think we have to because there's plenty of land around the city. And I went to an event in Roxbury today, and I was driving down the end of Martin Luther King Boulevard, and I looked right across the street. And I said, oh, my God, you could put two schools there. It was this big, empty – and I knew it was city property. You could tell by the fence that was around it. You could put two high schools there if you wanted to. We just need one there, you know, or a middle school or a grade school, whatever. The land is there. For the most part, if it's City of Boston land, we own it. No one's paying taxes on it because we own it. If we put a house or we put a school there, we'll be able to generate revenue. So the land is there. We own it. And if we have to get it from somebody, then we will have to use our eminent domain powers to pay that person to get the property.
How does the school generate money? I'm sorry, but how does school generate money?
Well, all right, if you put a school in a neighborhood, you won't get taxes from the school. But if you put a school in that neighborhood and that turns that neighborhood around, people start moving there. All the other
entities. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Build a house. And my taxes in West Roxbury were about $5,000 a year, roughly right around there. There's an empty lot in Roxbury that's getting no money in tax. It's costing us money to maintain it. They don't even maintain it. You know, like the fence around it's broken, the pickets are broken, the grass is tall, there's trash. It's an eyesore. It's a blight. It's bringing down the value of your property right next door and the property down the street because people say, oh, this neighborhood's lousy. Look at this. No one's taking care of this lot. Well, we take that lot and we put a house on it. Not only do we take away the blight, but the person who's living there is going to pay taxes. Let's say they only pay $3,000 a year.
Okay. I got that. Sorry interrupting you because we want to wrap it up. And may I please ask you, I forgot what I was going to ask. I'm sorry.
You want to ask me my favorite female Russian? Maria Sharapova. And Maria, if my wife leaves me, you know, will you go out on a date with me?
And I just changed the tune. So may I please ask you, that's going to be the tricky one.
Yeah.
About 90, I would say, percent people are saying Russian people here in Boston, they are Russian Jews. It's not the observing Russian Jews or practicing Russian Jews. They're just the tradition and the genes there they have.
Yeah.
Some of them here are nothing to do with Russian Jews. Hello, Andre. But some of them are. So the thing is that
am I the only one non-Russian Jew running a radio show in the synagogue?
I think I'm in a Russian Jewish church. I thought I saw something downstairs.
But the thing is that we do sometimes drive along Blue Hill Avenue, and this is what's happened, that I because I knew don't go there, so I never went there. But my wife got an interview at Old Hebrew Hospital.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so she was, and she's not Jewish. So I am Jewish, she's not. So the thing is, she wanted to, you know, to get her Morgan David that on the chain, that necklace, you know, since she's going to interview to the, and I'm looking, look, you know, with your face, you know, with your blonde hair and blue eyes, you know, don't make a, you know, joke about that. So, and she's going to the interview, and then I'm looking at the map, and it was, I believe, 1999, and I'm just, I'm looking at all this Boston area, our hospitals that Beth Israel, I'm trying to find it here, it's not there, and I change another page, and another page, and I'm just going through, you know, the Washington Street, the Blue Hill Avenue, and this is, I'm ending up at the streets when I never been before. I went by the Franklin Zoo. So, and it's right there. And I was like, I'm going with you. So I'm going with her. And here suddenly totally new neighborhood for us. I'm not scared, but curious very. And suddenly I just see the abandoned buildings. You know, they're not abandoned. The people here, the faded. And I see old Jewish stars on the facade and here and there. And we've been told, you know, when we came, and that was, I believe, one of the either Pesach or the Passover for it's, or it was like Rosh Hashanah, New Year. So I asked somebody, listen, you know, I was there. What's going on? It's what is it? What they celebrate ones or what is the pictures on the building? And they said, look, you know, before 67, 68, it was a very, very, very Jewish neighborhood, and so. Just to us, you know, because people listen, they all knew, like Andrew doesn't know anything about that because he didn't have that Rosh Hashanah and he didn't have the Pesach when I could ask the rabbi, could you tell our listeners what happened to all Jewish shtetl?
Let me tell you first, I'm a Catholic and like you, I try to go to church when I can, but I'm not the best Catholic in the world. So I kind of identify with people who can't make it to church all the time, but I will do it with my little boy, that's for sure. The interesting story about Blue Hill Avenue, first of all, you should never not feel safe going down Blue Hill Avenue. But if you do, imagine what the people around there must feel like too. And that's what I'm talking about. We need more police presence in certain areas, and that is one of the areas we do need police presence in. And I'm not saying this because I think it. I hear it every day when I'm out campaigning. Blue Hill Avenue, interestingly enough, if I told you the amount of men, Jewish guys, I'm an attorney. I work with a lot of Jewish attorneys that came from Blue Hill Ave, Mattapan, and whatever. I'm very well aware of I think there's a – what's the name of the deli down, the Four Brothers Deli or something right there in Mattapan Square? Famous place. I can't remember what the name of it is.
We don't know. You know, I've been there like three times. You know, I drive through when I go from my Newton to Quincy.
Yeah,
I cut
it
through.
So everyone does.
You know.
During this campaign cycle, we hold signs, political signs, every Tuesday right down there in Mattapan Square because it's a very good voting population over there. But what happened back then was back in the a very large Jewish population. Blue Hill Ave, down Columbia Road. I've seen everything with the facade you said. I've seen that too. Beautiful houses too, by the way. Unbelievable houses up and down Blue Hill Ave at one point. But you know, times change, and you know, back then you had all the civil unrest of the 1960s, and people started moving out, and then you had busing, and that was pretty much it. Blue Hill Ave cleaned right out. A lot of the Jewish guys I know, they all live in Randolph, Sharon. They're all attorneys. My accountant in my office next door told me the story. Oh, I used to, you know, I love Blue Hill Ave, and I drive down. I wish my father never left. I bet a lot of those people wish they never left because that property is worth money now. But it was just the civil unrest of that time, the 60s, and then the 70s. And then, when people, and this is exactly how it happens, when people leave a neighborhood, that little corner shop that used to be so, tons of business, they don't go in there anymore. It closes down. Boards go up in the window. It gets shut down. And you still see some storefronts down there that are shut down. Well, we need a Main Streets program definitely up and down Blue Hill Ave. You definitely do. That's the first step to revitalizing a community. Second step is that you got to have shops and you got to have restaurants and you got to have a supermarket. You got to have some sort of an anchor there for people to want to go and shop there. And when they start shopping there, they live there. The solution is so easy yet so complex. But Blue Hill Ave is making a comeback. It might not happen this year or next year, but it's going to make a comeback because you cannot touch property in Jamaica Plain or West Roxbury or South Boston. It's too expensive. So the next place they're going to go, Mattapan, Blue Hill Ave, etc.
And where the natives or locals, or where would they go? Because, you know, they can't afford half a million, obviously.
The mayor just announced a proposal to create 30,000 units of housing. I wish he did it 10 years ago, but I'm glad he recommended it. I don't think anybody has to be displaced, but I do think we need to build more housing, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to build more housing where we stuff all people in there. I want to build what you would call middle-class housing. My friends that make 30 or 40 grand a year, they can't they don't qualify for a mortgage from the bank. A mortgage on a $200,000 house is probably about $1,700-$1,800. I'm not really sure. You go try to get rent. Rent's $2,000. So the bank will say, you can't afford a mortgage, even though the rent you pay is more than the mortgage. Well, with the Affordable Housing Initiative, I want to do, like I said, I want to build houses in those lots and give them to people who make enough money to own a house, but a bank won't qualify them. So I don't think...
So like mass housing, more...
Mass housing's doing a great job, too.
Yeah.
And I try not to promote anybody, but they, the place down there in Forest Hills, they do a great job, too. That's what we need. But you were talking about development earlier, and that's what I was...
No, this is what you're saying. It's very good because I'm mortgage originator, and I remember about maybe 10 years ago, we had the Community Reinvestment Act, CRA bonuses, some part of... You look in the South Boston, East Broadway, this part of the street, I could get the interest rate about 0.5% lower than another part of the street, which was weird, but it was little things we could help, and if it's more and more and more cup, if the bank wants to put, their ATM machine in this corner, maybe they can subsidize the 4 or 5 units here.
I'm not anti-business, but I think if a bank wants to do business in the city of Boston, they have to make loans to people that don't make enough money to otherwise qualify for loans. That's got to happen, and that's going to be part of the solution to the housing problem we have.
Well, obviously, if they're going to reinvest in the neighborhood will be better and cleaner, it's not going to happen what has happened to Detroit. So, and it won't happen what years ago happened to South Bronx. So,
the people of the city of Boston have got to look at Detroit and say, we can't let that happen to us. And I don't think it's going to happen to us, but that should be a lesson for everybody, what's going on in Detroit. And, if I get in the city council, that's the stuff I care about. I want people to be able to live in the city of Boston. You can't, I don't know. South Boston, $2,500 a month for rent.
Oh, we finally have the first phone call. Let's try to get it.
Oh, great.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, yes. What's your name?
My name is Yuri, and I wanted to ask Martin a question.
Sure, go ahead.
What are you going to do for the Russian community specifically?
I didn't hear the question. What
are you going to do for Russian community specifically?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been over campaigning here, and like I said, I've got Russian friends. There's a need for a Russian community center over here, a place that Russian people can call their own, where they can go to. I want to do for the Russians and every person in the city of Boston. I want to make sure that they're aware of the services that the city of Boston has. I want to make sure that if they need help getting a loan, like we were just talking about, that they know the right place to go. And under my proposal that I want to do is somebody makes enough money, I want to give them that piece of land, have them get a mortgage that we set up through the, one of the banks in the, Sovereign Bank, Citizens Bank, et cetera. A 50-year mortgage, it'll drive their payments down every month. I want the Russian people to be able to have a home to go to. I want them to have a good public school to go to, and I definitely want them to be able to get a job. I don't know. I mean, that's a very broad question, Like to say, I give.
What I think, since he already dropped,
Yuri, just call back.
He went offline. I don't know if he's going
to
call us back or not.
He's going to listen to us.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for the question, Yuri. Probably what the question was is we have different communities. We have a big Lithuanian community out of the Russian speaking former Soviet Union, not exactly Russian-speaking, but they have their own club and a place where they gather, and it's more like a social club.
Yes.
I know there is a French club in North End. I think it's North End. There are different like cultural clubs and places where people gather in terms of like language they speak or culture they got used to, and there's nothing like that for Russians. And usually, when the question is asked, they're like, "Oh, they don't really, you know, feel our existence here, and they don't know that we exist and live in Boston." But there, I would say, around 80,000 people living in the Boston area, not in the Boston itself. So I guess that the question of Yuri was.
I'm sorry, because I'm so. I offended this question with the way how Yuri asked, because what do you want, Marty, to put together 60,000 Russians? We're going to make you happy. This is your club, you know, between 7 and 8 on every Thursday.
Well, you know, what I kind of want is, you know, if you go to another country and they say, if you got a problem, you go to your embassy. Well, if you come to the city of Boston, when I talk about, a Russian community center, you go in there and every resource you need for the city of Boston is going to be there for you to, you know, you got a place to go and congregate, number one. But number two, you're going to go in and you're going to talk to somebody who actually speaks Russian. Like, I think if you call City Hall, I'm sure there's someone there that speaks Russian. But I think that if we've got a center that people know, if I go there, I got a problem. You know, if I can't get my district council or whatever, I'll go to the community center, the Russian center, and I can talk to the person there. And they've got a direct line into the services that the city of Boston has. So, I mean, that's what I think. I think we need things like that in every single community.
This is what I'm thinking, what is going to end up. There is an old lady who lives, for example, somewhere in Symphony or Hemingway. And Marty got elected, and she has your number. And one day, you get a call, Mr. Kerr, I have some loud people down the street. And the thing is, and if you react fast, then you will be a hero. Yeah. You will be angel. You will be, you know, that these 2 years will be more and more and more years to come. So this is probably, this is how it's going to outplay. So, because one woman, it's like cow with a bell. So, if she's very vocal,
yeah,
and she's going to try, and if she got help from somebody real, then she's going to tell everybody around that this man is helping us.
Well, the one thing that I pride myself on, being an attorney and when I worked in the city council, is that if somebody called me to get something done, I got it done, you know, whether through the council or if I did it on behalf of the council I work for, I got things done. And if I couldn't get it done, I made sure that I made my best effort to get it done. With someone like Yuri, the question he gave was a good question. It would have been better if he said, what are you going to do? But, you know, this is what we need done. I work for you. If you elect me, I work for you. You tell me what you need done. I mean, I just am going to tell you what someone told me. We want a Russian community center. If Mrs. What'd you say her name was again?
My name is Pipko, like Mrs. Pipko.
Can I call him Sharapova?
Sharapova, yeah. Close your eyes and look at all these girls in the calendars in front of you. All our, you know, auto mechanics edition calendars.
She looks
calendars.
Like my wife, that one right there. She's great. Yeah,
it's like teacher from West Roxbury School. Yeah,
I will elementary. Go straight to her house, and I will make sure that I will not leave her house until that problem is fixed.
Yeah.
But actually, she just moved from Boston to New York. So.
See, well, okay. Now if I create affordable housing, she could have stayed here, you know. So this is what I'm talking about. We need to keep people here. You know?
You have something to say?
I was just going
to
say, I don't know. I don't know the answer to every problem. I don't know what all the issues are, and I depend on people to come and tell me that. So, Yuri, if I get elected, call me. If you've got an issue that you want to work on, but you trust me, my door will always be open to you.
Well, I hope that this would be a nice conversation with what I'm trying to say is that usually I never heard of it before. Like the people who get elected, they speak directly to the Russian community, Russian-speaking community. So I'm pretty sure that Russian-speaking community have heard you, and I hope it would get its benefits for you and for us and for everybody. I would like to thank you, Martin, for coming in.
Can I make one more thing?
Sure.
I hope you ask me to come back again. I'd love to come here once a week or once a month, especially if I get elected. But next time, if somebody calls the complaint, have it down and let's address it right on the air. You know, I'll do the best I can.
Oh, we'll get your complaints. Yeah. Don't you worry. This is going
to
be...
Well, this is the first time somebody actually is coming here and trying to address to a Russian-speaking community, except for probably years ago, maybe somebody tried to address to a specific Jewish community. But this is the first thing that happens, and I hope that it would, continue to go on, and we would have a nice conversation.
I would love to come back And I want to thank you, and I thank your audience for giving me the opportunity to actually talk tonight.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike.
Can I remind them that the election's on Tuesday? I'm number one. If you can say it in Russian, I'm number one on the ballot. It's a vote you won't regret.
Дорогие друзья, номер один в бюллетене Мартин Джей Кио.
Thank you very much.
Спасибо большое. Thank you very much for listening to us, and hope we'll meet next month.
And yes, yes. Marty, was what they say, I think, break the leg, right?
Break a leg.
Break a leg, yeah.
Instead of saying good luck, break a leg. I'll take both of them, please. I need votes.
All right.
Ruboradio.com. Единственное радио с таким названием.